World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Drive-In Church in Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
I want to talk to you today about something that is so crucial that you get. If you do not get this message today, you will live your life and never do the great things God has called you to. You will live your life in an average Walter Mitty way rather than living and doing the incredible things that have been planned for you. I did a study a number of years ago on the training that Jesus gave his disciples. 12 men, history tells us, between the ages of 15 and 26. Isn't that interesting? Between the ages of 15, for all you teenagers that are listening to me, those of you who are 20-somes, you need to understand, we keep thinking that disciples around Jesus were all 40 to 60-year-old men with gray in their beards, and no. Between 15 and 26 is what history tells us. 3 years of stunning training. He mentored them. He showed them. He taught them in private. He did miracles in front of them and then showed them how. He laid hands on them and sent them forth with the anointing that was on him, on them. And they went forth excited because demons listened to them. The sick were healed. Thousands followed Jesus, and they were taught amazingly. The 500 that we hear about that were around him, working and supporting him. The 70 healing evangelists that were trained in that outer circle that went out and did things. Yet when he went to the cross, nobody stuck to Jesus. Abandoned him. Denied him. Walked away from him until he literally turns to the 12 after everybody left him. And he said, "You gonna leave me too? You are on this planet for a very important purpose." In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "You are God's workmanship." All right, let's just stop right there. For many of you who feel like you have no talents, no gifts, no abilities, you feel like a loser, you feel like you got a big L tattooed over your forehead. No, everywhere you go, you're the bottom, you're the snake's belly. You're like Gideon. My family's is the lowest in my community, and I'm the lowest in my family. And God is looking at him and saying, "You are a mighty man of valor, and you're going to go do incredible things." What are you looking at within yourself? Because you were created, Ephesians 2:10 says, to do good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Jesus was dealing with a group of people who were not reborn. Jesus was dealing with 500 who weren't born again. He was dealing with these 70 evangelists that he sent forth, but they weren't reborn in their spirit. His 12 disciples that he trained and equipped and renewed their mind and mentored and showed and how he dealt with things and left him in fear, they weren't reborn people. And that's what finally, as a pastor, when I begin to study the training techniques of Jesus, the mentoring of Jesus, what Jesus did with them, told them, I was so discouraged about how am I as a pastor going to help the business leaders, the dads, the moms, the grandpas, you know, the everything. Oh, I was just like, oh my. But then here's what really encouraged me. Was in John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Jesus says this. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but they are too much for you. You cannot bear them. What? Was he talking about bad news? No, none of us, like, anytime you think about when you got the worst news given to you, you lost somebody you loved, you lost a job, a spouse left you, something happened, and you got this news. And, you know, if someone's bringing you the news, they want you to sit down, just sit down for a minute, I got some news. Or they want to figure out a way to break it to you, because when you get bad news, your stomach goes into a knot. Some people throw up. Some people will literally faint, have a heart attack because of the incredibly bad news. But when Jesus says here that I got things I want to teach you, but you can't bear it yet, he wasn't saying it's going to be bad news, because he goes on to say, but when the Spirit of truth, the Helper, comes, he will guide you into the truth. He's not going to speak his own stuff, his own authority, but what the Father says, he's going to declare it to you. The Spirit of truth will bring glory to me, because he will take what I have to say to you, what is mine, and declare it to you. He's literally saying here that there is information that is hidden. There is things that no one will get until they're born again. I laugh when I see debates between an unbeliever and a believer, because those debates take place within the sense realm. And I love all the great apologists, but I've got news for you. There is the hidden man of the heart. You have an inner man, an inner person. And that inner person comes alive when you are born again. There is no way to explain it to someone who doesn't know. There is no way to help them understand this whole new set of perceptive tools that becomes yours. This ability, whether you kids want to call it the spidey sense, whether you business guys want to call it a gut feeling, whether you moms who are praying for your kids want to say, I just perceived, I just sensed, I knew, and I had to call them and help them. But there is the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. Without that being born again, you cannot handle, you cannot bear, you cannot understand, you cannot get to work the things that God has prepared for you. In John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus is speaking again here, and he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also. And greater works than these you will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do, that the Father be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is talking here about you being born again. He didn't get you born again to play church. The church of Jesus Christ is people, and people who can do great works. People who, wherever they go, can minister to people and see miracles. You need to understand that Jesus is saying to you, you were born again to do the things that I do. What did Jesus do? He brought comfort to a widow who had lost her son. Then he raised him from the dead. He reached out to a blind man living in a dark world at a time when it meant he was poor and poverty-stricken and begging for food. And he started to scream, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me! The crowd told him to hush. It is amazing to me, when you're believing for a miracle, how many people will tell you, be realistic. Well, I know someone who tried, done that, faith stuff doesn't work. And all the Job's comforters that you need to get away from. They told blind Bartimaeus, hush, be quiet. He went louder, Jesus! I've got news for you. You can do greater works. Jesus touched those eyes and healed them. What's facing you? Is it a body that needs healing? A business that needs resurrection? Or maybe God's got something new. Is it relationships you can't get to work? A generation that you've lost in your family tree? I don't know, but I want you to know that you've got greater things in you. You've got a hidden man of the heart. That within you resides the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's not there for you just to keep learning your whole life. I'm not teaching the Word of God. You can put me in a building and teach. You can put me in a parking lot and teach. You can put me in a 40 below snowbank and teach. And I'll keep teaching. And I'll keep telling people that Jesus is on the inside of you.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Who is Holy Spirit to you? Many Christians are unaware of the role Holy Spirit plays in their day-to-day lives. As a believer, you have a powerful advantage. Don't go your entire life unaware of who Holy Spirit is. In this three-part series, Demystifying Holy Spirit, Leon cuts through common misbeliefs and shows you how to tap into God's presence.
Hey, everybody. Those who give and have joined us in this love walk of financing this program around the world, they're so special. I'd love to have you join us. For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series on the Holy Spirit and how I learned to become friends with Him and His power in my life.
Receive His guidance, know Holy Spirit personally, and begin to access His miraculous ability and strength like never before. Get your copy of Demystifying Holy Spirit today.
Listen to me, you are the devil's worst nightmare. Every demon from hell knows that they submit to you as a born-again believer, that you are the body of Christ, that you have authority over them. But what they're hoping for is you don't get it. Even if we can't do the programs, we can't meet in our buildings, then every one of you individually touches your neighbor, phones a friend, Zooms with a family member, reaches out to someone to the best of your ability to help them out, because the church can't function as a corporation like it used to, can't function like it used to inside of buildings. It does not matter. Churches meet on mountains. Churches meet in homes. Church can meet under a palm tree. Church can meet inside of a cave. Church can meet hiding out from a government that tries to kill them. The church cannot be stopped. You are the church, and the greater works don't take place from the platform. God did not say, let all the preachers go heal people. Let all the preachers get everybody saved. In fact, that's not even my job. Although I love getting people saved, I love having miracle services, I love praying for people wherever I go in hospitals, I am to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And if we all start settling on our blessed assurance and just sit there and wait for Jesus to come, or just help me have my life, my health, my prosperity, my home, hello, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, while the world around us knows nothing about the real Jesus, the real gospel. They hate religion as I do, and they want nothing to do with it. But you and I, we are the children of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish. All right, here's a part that bugs me. I know that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I know that we can go to our death at 120, full of vim and vigor. Yet it says that every one of us is going to die on this planet. So the outer man is decaying, okay? But the inner man is renewed day by day. It is talking here to you and I that you have an inner man. This inner man is the place where you were born again. We call it your heart. It's this central area. You are not just what you think. You're not just your emotions. You're not just your physical body. Although all of us equate who we are to our looks and our personality. That the whole world does that. When someone says, hey, do you know old John Boy? They'll go, yeah, he's the 6'2" guy with a bit of a pot belly, and he's got red hair, and he's a really happy, nice guy. You describe people with their personality and their looks. God doesn't. God looks at the heart. And in the New Testament, it teaches that you have an inner man. When you go on to 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, let it be the hidden person of the heart, this incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. People have taken this and they've said to all of us, people who want to live with passion, we want to shout and laugh and dance and sing, oh, but you should be a quiet, gentle person. We all walk with this fake humility, with a little smile. We read our Bible, and that's what we do for excitement, and we sit at home and wait for church. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about a gentle and quiet spirit. There's always a peace in your hidden man. There's always a quietness that nothing can disturb, a peace that passes understanding. That's what's on the inside of you and I. But on the outside, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, King David said. Hey, he's my sword and my shield. He gives power to all. He's my strength and my light. That's what we've got and what we can do. But whenever we calm down, see, most people don't like quiet. You know why? Because their spirit's not quiet. They don't like being alone with all the music off and all their toys turned off, just in the quiet. You know why? Because they don't have this gentleness, this quiet. This gentle, you know, when we say gentle, I love horses. And, you know, when you hang around a horse, that's why they have equine therapy for people who emotionally are struggling, or even those who are born with something that they need help with emotionally or in their brain and emotions. You get them around a horse, there's a quietness, just a gentleness that just kind of exudes. In fact, when you ride a horse, you have to have that same spirit. It'll just transfer, your nervousness transfers to them. You know, your anger transfers to them. And so this quietness, this peace is to be on your inside. And that doesn't stop a professional football player who's got that to get up and go with a body that's just taking out every tackle and blasting through people. It doesn't stop a man from getting up and being just this exciting, passionate, filled with zeal for his company and his country and whatever he's doing, or a woman or a mom, a dad. It's not saying we all walk around like a bunch of clones. No, but this gentle, quiet inner man is a rock. People often ask me, you know, there's times that, well, we're all in the same boat. Your days can be crazy, filled with problems, solving issues. My outer man at times is tired, but all of us have an outer man that is perishing, but you have an inner man. You have a hidden man, a hidden person, ladies. And this hidden person of the heart generates power, generates peace, generates this quietness that nobody can touch. It generates a zeal that Jesus had, a power to heal, a presence of God to lead countries, companies, churches, families. You need to know you were created to do good works. You were created to get up. And when all the craziness of this world and the fear mongers and the chicken littles, the sky is falling, that tries to disturb that hidden person of the heart that is quiet and peaceful and nothing can disturb it. That's what gives you that anchor. I want you to know today, you, if you've given your life to Christ, you have a hidden man of the heart. You have an inner man. And in where Jesus is, there is a peace, a gentle quietness that just feeds you and nourishes your organs, your body, your emotions, your mind, that others can't touch. Listen to me, your spouse can't touch it. Wake up. Stop blaming your husband. Stop blaming your wife. Stop blaming how you were raised. This hidden man of the heart, this inner person that you truly are when he becomes born again, the Spirit of God is poured in and sealed there, and this is a quiet, a peace that is yours. And I want to challenge you today, because you have that, you must share this Jesus everywhere you go. One of the hardest things that you can do is try to wake up a religious group of people to get up out of your comfort zone, step out of the boat, and start walking on water when it comes to your business, reaching out to people, sharing Jesus, being a witness. We're not here to exist till Jesus comes back. We're here to help him reach the lost sheep. We're here to reach out and bring joy and the good news of Christ to those that are around us. If you're not going to do that, if you're not going to witness and share and bring Jesus to this world and do good works and pray for the miraculous and touch your neighborhood and reach your town, reach your city, if it's not about that, then you bring no eternal value. You're not doing anything that's going to change eternity. Did you know that your life is a vapor? This 70 to 120 short years you have is but a spit in the wind to the billions of years we're going to spend with God. So get rid of your bucket list, enjoy life, but recognize we must reach out to beautiful people who've only seen religion, and we need to bring them the Jesus that we know. I have an assignment for you. This next week, before this week is out, I want you to find one person to just encourage. Don't preach at them. They've been preached at. Just encourage them. Listen to their story. Help them with their driveway. Bring them over a pie. Just get into their world. Listen to them. God gave you two ears and one mouth. And then encourage them. Love on them. And as the door opens up to share, just share the peace that you have. Let them see Jesus before you try to tell them Jesus. Let's make sure that where we go, you have a mission. You must bring good works. It doesn't mean to do some simple little task that you could do without Jesus. It means that you bring this beautiful Jesus to this dying world that is around you. And you don't rely on your head, you rely on the hidden man of the heart. And you will discover that as you begin to talk to someone and they become open through your kindness, through what you're doing, that you begin to talk and share and answer questions and laugh and get to know them. And when it's done, you kind of go, wow, I was good. I mean, it just flowed out of me. I mean, I had answers. I mean, I said things. I was amazing. Yeah, you opened your mouth and God filled it. When you begin to be a witness, when you begin to reach out to the people that are around you, you know, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most people don't understand this, but of the thousands of miracles that Jesus did, the four books tell us about approximately 14 or 15 of the one-on-ones that Jesus did. And although we have some of the sermons that Jesus preached, most of it is filled up with how he ministered to one person. One person. One. Not two. One. Not four. One. Yes, I know he taught to thousands, but he ministered to one. And he gives us an example to be like him. Go minister to one. Stop thinking you need a pulpit. Stop thinking you need a microphone. Stop thinking, well, I'll spend all these years and maybe I can become a pastor. We got enough problems in the pastorate. Listen, we need you to minister to one. Just bring hope. You weren't designed to sit on a couch or to sit in a pew or just to sing a few choruses or hear a sermon. You were designed to do things, to reach out and touch our community. And here is where we're going to see God do great things. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would challenge every one of us to not become just complacent, to not just get into a routine of looking after ourselves, but to reach out. And Father, to see a world and to be fall in love with them like you do. Father, I pray. And for those who are watching right now, if you do not know this Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to lead you in this powerful prayer. You see, as you've been listening to me, the words that I'm speaking from God's Word, they cause faith to rise up on the inside of you. And you begin to hope and you begin to look at this and go, I think I need that. You do. That's God at work on the inside of you. Receive them. Just say this right now. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I'm following you for the rest of my days. As my Lord and Savior, I accept you. Thank you. And teach me all I need to know about this new life in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how amazing that is.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.